Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right, everybody, this is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And as I said, we are signed, sealed, and delivered, and what that means is we're signed with the cross of Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And this week, we're going to continue with the topic about why our prayers may not be answered. And last time we had a really good discussion. Lauren had called in. And so I'm going to urge anybody who also wants to call in, if you have any questions or comments, to please call. And let me give you the number now, and I'm going to say it throughout the program. The number to call to WTMR is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. And then our producer, Michael, will be answering that and we'll connect this up there. You know, part of the reason why I wanted to continue with the last topic about prayer is because many times when we call in or we have these days of prayers or we go to a retreat, we have these concerns and petitions, and we may ask we may ask Cathy McCarthy to intercede for us, or we ask a famous priest like Father Jim Blunt, who's also an exorcist, or we may bring petitions and put them in a basket for Mass, or we may, you know, ask God in the silence of our hearts. And sometimes we wonder, like, we prayed, well, how come it didn't happen the way I wanted it to? Or, in fact, why should we pray if God already knows what we're going to say? He knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're going to do. And so I was covering that last week, but I also wanted to just finish up on it. And then that question that Lauren had last week was really good. She wondered, you know, why do I call the name of this program Signed, Sealed, and Delivered? And it was interesting because when Lauren called, you know, she said she's an Anglican who's being interested in becoming a Catholic. And so when she asked, what do we mean by signed with the cross of Christ? And simply, you know, as a reminder for us Catholics, right, we sign ourselves with the sign of the cross. And Jesus talks about this, right, at the end of, before he ascends into heaven, so to, you know, to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we take our fingers and we put that on our forehead, and we start going up and then down to our heart, and we go side to side from one shoulder to the other shoulder. Traditionally, it's the left shoulder to the right shoulder. And that's how we're signed with the cross of Christ. And when we do that, I had made a mention that, you know, this is the sign that we go by, well, that we're Christians, we're Catholics, right? And that we don't go by the signs of, like, say, the zodiac. So let's say this August, people may say, hey, I'm born under the sign of Leo, you know, the lion, or whatever the zodiac signs may be for that time period, you know, Sagittarius, Cancer, Taurus, you know, all these different things. But those don't have power over us, right? We're not under the power of the stars. We're under the power of God, the creator, who created heaven and earth and created our lives, right? So we're really under the sign of Jesus Christ. And that sign of the cross was a sign of torture to the Romans. That was how they made people submit and become fearful, right? If you didn't follow Roman law, they would execute the person in a humiliating type of death, such as crucifixion. And whereas when Jesus underwent that, he had the most gruesome type of crucifixion with the scourging, the, you know, the crown of thorns, and the mockery that they had on him. But he turned that into a sign of victory when he rose from the dead, and he used that cross to, by suffering and dying to and shedding his blood by paying for our sins. So that sign of the cross is a sign of victory now for us. It's no longer a sign of defeat like the devil would have it be, but Jesus turned it into a sign of victory. So that's why we're signed with the cross of Christ. In fact, when we do that on ourselves, it actually protects us from the evil one. And I'll get into this too, because, you know, the readings for this coming Sunday, the gospel, I should say, for this Sunday, the 20th week of ordinary time, Jesus is approached by a Gentile woman whose daughter is possessed by a demon. And she asked Jesus to heal her daughter. Now, some of you may know, those of you who aren't, who are new to the program, that, you know, I'm one of the few doctors in the nation that actually has, you know, real experience in the exorcism ministry. Not an observer, but actually officially part of the exorcist team, to be like the assistant to the exorcist. And I've helped five exorcists in the archdiocese. We have two, but you know, three others that would visit, and one in particular I would help a lot would be Father Blunt when he would come into town, like he is coming this August. But anyway, so I'll get into that about the spiritual warfare side, the exorcism. So if you have any questions about spiritual warfare, please call in. It's 856-962-8178. The number is 856-962-8178. I know it's a real popular topic, a scary topic, so some people avoid it. But the thing is, you know, there's so much turmoil now in the world, not just now, but it's been brewing so much, it's just overflowing, that finally, you know, that it's being brought to the open, like what to do about this when it's affecting our family, our marriages, our individual health, our mental health, you know, our work and so forth. And it's like, what do we do to defend ourselves? What do we do? And this where, well, what do we do? Well, yes, we need to pray, but then this leads into the topic, well, then how come our prayers don't seem to be effective? Or is it even answered? Or it gets to the point of despair, well, why should I even pray? You know? So that's what I want to get into. But let me just finish up on the title of my program, being signed, sealed, and delivered. And when I said sealed by the Holy Spirit, that actually happens at two occasions. One is when we are all baptized. When we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, by this sign of the cross and with holy water, that's the beginning of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. When we're sealed, we're initiated into the Catholic Church when we're baptized. But we're not a completed Catholic. We're not officially a Catholic until you're fully Catholic, I should say, until you are confirmed in the faith. And that's when the person is then sealed. The special words that are said by the bishop or priest when they anoint a person who is deciding to become fully Catholic, the words are said, be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that happens in confirmation. So confirmation is when the person confirms that this is what I want to do. I want to become a Catholic, and that's where they would have first confession, first communion, you know, and they would get the confirmation. So they already had the baptism, so they would already have now four of the seven sacraments. These are the gifts that God gives us, Jesus gives us to the church. So that's what the sealed by the Holy Spirit means, is that it's two parts, one baptism, and then the final part is confirmation. And the last part of my title of my program, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, is that when we pray the Our Father, we can be delivered from whatever's plaguing us. We can self-deliver. In other words, we can help our own self by praying the Our Father, where it says, deliver us from evil, or where we can use the word deliver us from the evil one. And this is how, you know, I've seen personally people, you know, who have been delivered from evil, from the evil one, from various demons, and their life is brand new again. It's one thing to get confession. In fact, confession is stronger than exorcisms. People may not realize this, and that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of various exorcisms. Sometimes they'll say that, like Father Gabriel Amorth, who was the chief exorcist in Rome, he's passed away, so, you know, bless his soul, may he rest in peace. He had said something like, one confession is worth like 100 exorcisms. That's how powerful the sacrament of confession is relative to an exorcism, which is called a sacramental. Whereas another person, another exorcist may have been quoted as saying, one confession is equal to about 10 exorcisms. So it's a 1 in 10, you know, ratio, so to speak. So, but the point is, for us individually, you know, whatever's plaguing you, whatever's bringing you down, you know, could be delivered if God wills it through the Our Father prayer. And so these are the kind of things that I cover in this program, but also I just want to make it really practical, because many of us have something weighing us down. You know, it might be our own personal problems. It might be, again, something with the marriage, with our family, with our children, with our work. You know, sometimes we just feel empty. We may have everything going for us, but yet how come we're not happy? Or we may be on the other spectrum where everything's not going well for us. And how can we be happy? And then what is happiness? Is happiness just having a bowl of ice cream? You know, is happiness just getting to eat all the fast food and candy that you want? I mean, well, that's kind of like some of the kids, right? You know, that's all they really want. They're playing games and eating their cake and, you know, having their cake and eat it too, and so to speak, and it's just all about entertainment. Are we just grown-up kids that just we're just looking for the next source of entertainment, but we're really coming away unsatisfied? And so this is where I want to help, you know, as a spiritual fitness doctor, and I made that up, is that term, in the sense that, you know, I'm trying to coach people here through the program so you can get spiritually fit, right? Because many of us, we want to live longer, right? Whether you want to eat better or watch what you drink or watch what you should drink, right? And then try to exercise. And some people are very disciplined or are successful in being able to have good nutrition and have good fitness. But that's just the outward appearance, our bodies, right? What about inside, our spirit? That should be more important than actually our physical body. Yes, it's good to have good health. I mean, I'm a medical doctor. So, of course, you know, as a medical doctor, we try to save lives and maintain people's health. And so, you know, I've had that privilege of serving the Lord and saving lives, you know, being an anesthesiologist in the past. I'm a retired physician, but, you know, in the past, yeah, in whether it's emergency surgery or being in the emergency room or running, a code blue or, you know, being in the intensive care unit or cardiac intensive care unit, where have you, and saving lives, through the grace of God, we've been able to help many people. In fact, I remember in my first year of doing internal medicine as an intern that our specific team was called the A-team back then, because anytime we were called to a code blue or cardiac arrest, that people wouldn't know, but I'd be praying underneath my breath. You know, I'd be saying the Our Father, and I'd be praying for the person who we're resuscitating. We're doing what you call advanced cardiac life support. So it's not just basic CPR. And we wouldn't lose anybody. It's not because I'm praying. I'm not trying to get credit for that. No, I'm just saying I offered it up, prayers for that particular person who was on the brink of life and death, and just offering it to the divine physician for him to heal whoever we're attending to. And we didn't lose anybody. And so we got this reputation as the A-team. So when we were on, if somebody had a cardiac arrest or what have you, respiratory arrest, we were the ones that were able to assist the person to and save their life through the grace of God. And so what I try to do here is I try to make sure that our spiritual lives are fit, right? Because it's great to get better shape, to lose weight, to eat right, to drink things that are good. But what about our spirit, though? The spirit is worth more than the body, because when we die, our spirit lives on. Yes, we learn in the Apostles' Creed and what Jesus teaches us in Scripture that Jesus will come back to judge the living and the dead, and that we want to be called by him so we would rise from the dead and be one of those who go to heaven with him and have our bodies united with our spirit, you see? So, you know, like, for instance, my own son, my own baby, he passed away. And, you know, so we know his body is in the grave, but his spirit is in heaven. I mean, he was a baby that was baptized. So he was initially sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, at the end of the world, his body is going to be united with his spirit. And that's what happens to people who predeceased us, who died already. Anyway, so this is what we can look forward to, is a life of everlasting happiness and joy and being with our loved ones and God, and to be able to live forever like it was supposed to be. And so this is what I'm trying to help people and coach people who listen here. How can we be one with God? How can we get spiritually fit? And so we can, you know, have a happier life here, and to deal with those practical struggles and make our way to heaven with God's grace. Again, if anybody's interested in calling, if you just want to say hello or tell us where you're calling from, you know, or if you had any comments or questions or even a prayer request, please call. It's 856-962-8178. 856-962-8178. You know, when I was tuning in right before starting the show, I was listening to Marta and Tara, and they're doing a great job. I hope you appreciate what they're doing. You know, I caught some of it there. You know, they're talking about justice and how the Lord is going to get his, you know, vengeance or justice for improper wages that people are getting. And you know, that's a big issue right now for many families, right? With prices going up so much and incomes are very, it's harder to get jobs or a well-paying job, you know? And so this is where the Lord, he will bring justice and to help us those who are really in need. You know, it would be one thing to have what we call, you know, a living wage. And what would that mean? You know, a living wage is a wage that's appropriate for one to not only just survive, but to actually live. I'm not saying live it up. So what I'm saying is a person or a family, let's say, who is only has one child compared to a family, let's say, who have six, a living wage would mean enough to support that family who has six children or a total of, you know, eight in the family there. And so it would seem very odd nowadays, but to actually give the person who has more children a higher salary, even if they had the same job. That would seem extremely strange to our current, you know, capitalistic society. But if you think about God's justice, it's like, well, he actually, his first commandment in the Old Testament, in Genesis, right, is to be fruitful and to multiply. So if a couple can only have one child and they're trying their best, that's what, as fruitful as they can be, okay, so be it. That's what God has blessed them with, the one, thanks be to God. And if another family ends up with six kids, oh, thanks be to God. But they both families need to subsist, and they both need to be able to have what's the correct living wage. And so what it turns out many times is that those who have a less get even less. You know, they get, it's like they don't have enough. And it's not like it's their fault. It's like we as a society, we really need to help those in need. Whereas those who are have plenty and are bountiful, this is where God gives them the opportunity to share their riches one way or another, or to help those in need. Anyway, I just wanted to comment also just on Martha and Tara and their great work that they're doing too in their program right before mine. All right, so let me. So now that I just finished about talking about the name of the program and finishing the answer, the question about why is my program named Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, I wanted to finish up on why our prayers aren't answered. And, you know, I had mentioned in the other program, in last week's program, that yes, it's true that God says that he knows what we're going to say even before we say it. In fact, that's what Jesus said before he taught the apostles how to pray the Our Father. And I had said also that after the Our Father is said in Matthew, or given to us in Matthew chapter 6, that it ended on verse 13. The very next verse, it was, you know, Matthew 14, that people weren't aware that Jesus makes a condition. Let me pull this up here. So in Matthew chapter 6, he gives the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and it starts in verse 8 where he says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But he still teaches the apostles how to pray. So he says, this is how you are to pray. And he goes on and says, Our Father, and he finishes on verse 13, you know, deliver us from the evil one. But then verse 14 is where he shows the condition that if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And then the next verse, 15, he says, but if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. People forget these two verses. In the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, Jesus does give a condition. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it may not be clear to us when we say forgive us our sins or our debts as we forgive others. It some people may not realize that's a condition. And I wanted to stress this again, because this is the prayer that Jesus taught us. And of course, because Jesus taught it, this would be the most perfect prayer out of any other prayer. But yet this perfect prayer is conditional. And he shows it here in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And if that's not enough, then he goes twice in verse 14 and 15 by explaining it further. He elaborates, he clarifies. He says, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions. And so I stress this as one of the main reasons we may not have our prayers answered, okay? And so we have to make sure that when we're going to ask God for something or for help, that we also need to make sure that did we forgive others of their what they did against us? And so we shouldn't really be so confident in thinking, oh, it doesn't matter if I don't forgive my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister or my neighbor or my coworker or what have you. I just want this from God. Well, if you think about it, it's kind of like using God for whatever you want or whatever you need. And so here God makes it plain and simple that we really have to make sure that we forgive others. And when we do so, this is how, in my opinion, that we'll be able to increase our chances to the point where God will look favorably on our request. He always hears us. But the thing is, he's not obligated to say yes to us when we turn away from him by sinning against him. In other words, we're not following the Lord's prayer, and we're actually saying, Lord, don't forgive us our sins, since I didn't forgive my friend of this. So then, he's not going to forgive you then, because you're not forgiving your friend. He's taking you at your own word. So just have that to think about. And we're going to take a break right now, and then we'll finish up. So if you do want to call while we're on the break, or at least you can just get this number down, the number is 856-962-8178. Again, it's 856-962-8178. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered with Dr. Anton.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we are signed, sealed, and delivered, signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. We're finishing up on the reasons why our prayers may not be answered. Okay, and so one quick reminder is, some people may think that if Jesus with his own words says that our Father knows, God the Father knows what we're going to say before we even say it, then people are going to ask, well, then why pray it? Why do we need to pray? Well, that's a valid question, but God, Jesus would not tell us, would not teach us to pray if he still didn't want us to. And he wants us to as evidence that we have faith or that we desire to have more faith. There's that saying in scripture, you know, where the man says, I believe, help my unbelief. So you might have a little faith, but you want to believe more. And so when you actually pray the Our Father, then you are actually showing or proving that you have faith and you're trying to grow in faith and you're asking God the Father for help. You're trusting what Jesus said, that when we pray this prayer, that our Father will hear us, and that if we forgive others, he will forgive us of our sins too, and he will look favorably on us. So make sure you ask. And then to have the faith, even a small faith of a mustard seed is good enough. So the other part here is that if your prayer is not answered, it doesn't mean you lack faith. It may simply mean that God says no, or he might say, mean just wait, and that he's actually testing you to see if you're going to persevere. That are you going to continue praying or are you going to give up? And the thing is, because there are times when you actually give up is when actually God wants to answer you. So, but you have to be able to stick through it till the end. You know, I'm a sports fan, especially for football. You know, I do watch other sports, you know, from the Phillies and 76ers, and such. And, you know, the thing is, like, sometimes people give up on a team when they're losing. But how many times, that we've seen different, like, sports miracles? So, you know, I'm using that term miracle loosely, like the miracle of the Meadowlands. Or, you know, like when DeSean Jackson, you know, catches a punt and he returns it with how many seconds left and makes a touchdown. And Mike, him and Michael Vick, and the whole team come back after such a huge deficit. You know, people could be leaving the stadium. They didn't stay through it, but if they would have stayed through it, they would have seen the greatest game or one of the greatest comebacks ever. So that's how God is in our life, too. He wants us to be the hero of our story, and he wants you to stick through it, that you can make the comeback. You can be that hero in your own story of your life, right? So whether you're the mom dealing with all sorts of problems at home, and you're trying to keep the family intact, the marriage intact, or you're trying to help your grandchildren, whereas they are not keeping the faith, or you have a brother or a sister that left the faith, you know, and that you're trying to hold it together, and that instead of giving up, if you just stay through it, with your prayers that God can answer you in the positive, that you will see the effect, the good effect of people changing. It's just like, watering the garden. You know, it takes a while before from the seedling will start to take root and then to bear fruit. Take, for example, the oak tree. You know, the oak tree, depending on what studies you may come across, it takes anywhere from 10 years to 20 years to 30 years or even longer before the oak tree will bear fruit of the acorns. But if you start thinking from that oak tree, hey, it's not developing any fruit or the acorns, and you're looking at after year 5 or year 7, 8, 9, year 10, nothing happens. You think, oh, this must be a bad tree. No, it just didn't have enough time to mature. Because again, on average, it's going to be somewhere like 20 to 30 years, maybe even 50 years. And using that oak tree as the analogy, you know, that might be, our own spouse, our own mom and dad, our own brother and sisters, our own friends. It may be 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years that you may not see any good fruit from them as far as going back to church, let's say, or going back to confession. You see what I mean? But if you keep praying for them, that's where you are building yourself to be a saint and helping that particular person. So don't give up. And this is where in Thessalonians, when Paul wrote in the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, it says, pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So when it says pray constantly, that doesn't mean you're saying Our Father 24 hours a day. It's like, you know, the conscience in your mind, you know, that's really the way that God talks to you, through your conscience. And he's trying to give you, through your guardian angel or through a saint or the Blessed Mother or his direct voice, talking to you. And so when you talk with him and have a conversation with him throughout your day, you are praying. That's where you say pray constantly. When you're having this inner dialogue, not with the tape recorder in your head that's making you feel bad or guilty. It's really the other voice, and I'm not trying to make you seem like you're crazy by hearing voice. I'm talking about the conscience that we have, that everybody has. God puts that in us. That's him talking to us one way or another, directly or again through his saints or through our guardian angel. He's talking to us. And then it says in Thessalonians, this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that give thanks in all circumstance. So whether things are going well or things are going bad, still be thankful. Because and when we pray constantly, this is the answer that we need. It says that this is the will of God. You know, that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that we're supposed to be praying constantly, have this conversation with the Lord, just like with your best friend. I mean, let's take it down to technology right now. Don't you guys get texts so many times a day or emails or phone calls and so forth? And we keep on looking at our phones or tablets or computers, and we get all these different messages, and whether it's just, goofing off or just, you know, telling us what's happening throughout the day. But this is the same thing where God is really wants to be involved with our life, that we should talk to him also as if we're texting somebody back and forth. We're mentally talking to him, called mental telepathy. That's prayer. This is where we get to talk to him and tell him that this is our concerns, Lord. Can you help us here? You know, so even in your daily struggles. So if you're struggling to be able to, let's say, to stop gossiping or to stop looking at things on the internet, which we're not supposed to, or to control one's bad habits, whether that's drinking or smoking or taking drugs or, you know, gambling or what have you, or being angry or, you know, being lazy or just being materialistic and, you know, things like that. We can ask his help. And so this is where we shouldn't give up, and we should just be persevering, and then God will help us, especially when we are just humble. When we say to him, Lord, I need your help. And when you do that, you are being humble because you're asking for help from God, who is our Father, and that Jesus taught us to pray and to pray to him, and he will help us. And so hopefully some of these tips about why our prayers may not be answered can be resolved. And one last thing I wanted to add is in Mass, when you go to Mass, there's a part that we may overlook where it says, you know, the peace I give to you, you know, we give to others, right? And we are told to show a sign of peace to our neighbor. And some people will just look at another person and nod their head and say, you know, peace be with you, or you may extend your hand out to the person next to you or in front of you or behind you. And some people may not realize what that is. Well, that part is, yes, we're giving peace, but it actually gives us the opportunity to forgive our neighbor those sins against us. You know, like I just showed in the Our Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And then Jesus, he underscores that or emphasizes, if you forgive others, then you'll be forgiven. If you don't, then you won't. So when we say give the sign of peace, we actually might be next to somebody that we had an argument with, whether it's your spouse or whether it's one of your kids, or maybe it's your brother or your mother, or, you know, your sister-in-law or your brother-in-law, somebody there or some friend that's near you and you didn't know that they're sitting behind you. Now's your chance before you go up and get Holy Communion to actually make amends by saying, peace be with you. So that's your way of asking forgiveness personally, right there before you go up to Almighty God. So that's your chance to really live out the Our Father, like forgive us our sins as we forgive others. So you just said you gave them peace. You say, hey, let's have peace. Let's make sure that we have forgiven each other before we get communion. So just keep that in mind. All right. The other thing I just wanted to bring up now was the gospel for this coming Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's the 20th Sunday. And this one, you guys know, it's like when Jesus is calling this Gentile woman a dog. It seems like, well, wait a second. Did he really just put her down? I don't get this. And I'll read this in the time remaining. But here it says, it's from Matthew chapter 15. It says, at that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out. And she said this, have pity on me, Lord, son of David. Now, here's a Canaanite woman. She's not Jewish, right? She's not. She's really a Gentile, and she's asking mercy. So when they say have pity, the synonym is mercy. Have mercy on me. And she's calling Jesus Lord. And even the special name that is only for the Messiah, son of David. So she's not calling him teacher. She's not calling him rabbi. So she sees beyond that he's not just a teacher. He's not just a teacher who's a priest that knows scripture, a rabbi. No, she's calling him Lord, but not just like not someone who just rules over, lords over somebody. She actually is calling him son of David. That means the Messiah. Now, some people might say, wait a second, how can Jesus be the son of David? Well, we know that that's the bloodline from David, right? We have David, then his son was Solomon, and there was other sons. But so he's not the direct son like Solomon was, but he's in the line, and so he's called the son of David. So, but yet my point was, she, a Gentile, recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. And then she says, she pleads with him, my daughter is tormented by a demon. So she recognizes her daughter is being afflicted by a demon. And so this is what happens, brothers and sisters. You know, I get calls or texts or emails, or I get help. People reach out all over the United States asking for help from me, you know, regarding prayer or, you know, spiritual advice on how to deal with the evil that's happening in their life, and to help determine, is this really demonic or not? And, you know, because some people think, oh, is this a mental illness or is it, you know, a medical illness? And it's you know, or very spiritual. And so as far as the spiritual side, you know, I try to tell them, I'm not their medical doctor and I'm their psychiatrist or psychologist. But spiritually, when somebody has a problem where that there's levitation, that they have this aversion to holy objects, and they see shadows on the walls, or they're physically being hurt and pulled out by some invisible entity. That's not a psychiatric illness. I don't have to be a psychiatrist or psychologist to say, hey, that's not, you know, that can't be a psychiatric illness. You know, and there's no medical disease that some invisible entity is going to pull someone out of their bed, you know, and do some violence to them. And so the thing is, so spiritually, when I help people, it's like, you know, they need help. And so here, this Canaanite woman's going to Jesus and asking for help. And what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus did not say a word. It's not something. Does that seem almost impolite? Or is he testing her? And to see if she has patience and perseverance. So my point, brothers and sisters, you may be asking the Lord, say, and saying there's a family member that's having a problem, or maybe your spouse, okay, or a niece or a nephew or somebody, and you may think they're being tormented one way or another, oh, by a medical disease or a psychiatric disease or maybe a spiritual problem, right? And then you're asking Jesus help, and there's no answer? Well, take it from this gospel here, Matthew 15, that Jesus is actually testing her faith, okay? Giving her the opportunity to be a hero, to fulfill in her story, to be that hero, to demonstrate that she does have the faith. And so he believes in you too, that you will have the faith if you hang on. So Jesus did not say a word, not because he is being disrespectful or ignoring her. Okay, he's actually giving her a chance and testing her. And it says that Jesus' disciples then chimed in. Jesus' disciples came and asked Jesus, send her away, for she keeps calling out after us. I mean, this happens like when I'm with Father Blunt. You know, many people come around, they want Father Blunt to, you know, help, you know, exorcise the demon or deliver them. And sometimes they'll try to go through me and, you know, to get to Father Blunt and all. And, you know, but here Jesus said in reply to the apostles, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's showing his primary mission is to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember the 10 tribes of Israel? That were in the north, who were what you call assimilated and lost their identity, their Jewish identity, because now they married into the Gentile culture and they don't practice their religion anymore. Does that sound familiar? Did any of you out there know, or does anybody of you know, are out there that knows somebody that married into something, some marriage where they don't practice their faith anymore, and you lost your Catholic Christian identity? There's got to be somebody. Anyway, this is very similar. So So he's out to help those lost 10 tribes, right? And but of course, the whole world as well. And then, but the woman responds and gives Jesus homage. She started to show worship to him and saying, "Lord, help me." She persists, "Help me." And what does Jesus say in reply? He tests her like the third time. Remember, the first time he's quiet. The second time, he talks indirectly to her by talking to the apostles and says to the apostles, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And now here's the third time. He says, now directly to her, "It is not right to take the food of the children and to throw it to the dogs." Now, some people will take offense. Well, wait a second. Is he calling her a dog? And then she says, she responds to Jesus. Now, she's not shy. She is persistent, and she's also very humble. She's not being sassy. She's not talking back. She says, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." And what does Jesus do? Does he go on a fourth time? Does he scold her? No. The Lord Jesus, after testing her three times, remember, Jesus was tested three times in the desert. So now he tests this girl, this woman, this mother, three times. Then Jesus said to her in reply, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. He didn't even need to go to her house. Just by his very word. And that's how it is with Jesus. We say his name, demons flee, demons quiver, they shake, they tremble by his very name. And so whenever you're on God's side, you can't lose. Stay in his graces. If you have sin on your soul, go get confession the way that Jesus set it up to be. He gave the apostles the power to forgive sins, which only God can do. But yet, Jesus is God, and since he has all power given to him, he can delegate that power. And that's what he did. He delegated the God-given power to his apostles, who also was able to delegate that to now the Catholic priest. So this is what happens here, that when we go to confession, we get our sins forgiven by God because he delegated that power to these human priests. So it's not the priest forgiving, it's still God. And so in the same way that Jesus praises this woman for her perseverance, and this is what I'm hoping this gospel will help you all, that when we pray the Our Father, you may have that miracle you want after one prayer. But you may actually have to pray it numerous times. In fact, that's why we Catholics, we pray the Holy Rosary, which we say the Our Father five times, and then we say the Hail Mary. We pray the Hail Mary 50 times. Actually, we do it, 53 times, which, remember, the Hail Mary is actually from Luke chapter 1. It's scriptural. And so we pray this. And so we try to do this constantly. We're trying to fulfill Scripture. We're not babbling. We're actually saying what we mean, and we're focusing on Jesus. And so here's the thing, is so she doesn't get upset. She's talking to Jesus and pleading, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." So she recognizes she's not one of the chosen people. That means me and you, too. If you're not Jewish, we're not the chosen people, but nevertheless, Jesus does come to save all the whole world, not just the Jews, not just the 10 tribes, not just the other tribes in the south, meaning Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites, that he's doing all the Jews and the whole world. And all we have to do, really, is do God's will. I mean, that's big in general, but love and obey God. Try to be simple, and he makes it simple for us. Love God and love neighbor. And there's other stipulations, but that's the main thing, and that's why he wants us to focus. I love that saying that Jalen Hurts talks about, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is to love God with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul. Love God, love neighbor. Keep it simple, right? So these are the things that I just want to mention. And one last thing I wanted to end with is, you know, today is August 13, and I wanted to say, well, two things. One is St. Philomena. You know, her feast day was August 11th. And August 13 is also the day that people celebrate, you know, her name, you know, which means that she's a wonder worker, but Philomena, just like the word Philadelphia, means like light, you know. So she's like the, not like the light of the world, like Jesus is the light of the world, but very similar in that meaning. And so I just wanted to give her honor, and because of she was a virgin martyr. And so if you want to have any of your prayers answered, think about asking St. Philomena for intercession. She was only 13 years old. She promised to be the bride of Christ, and she died keeping her chastity and purity, and she was tortured by the Emperor Diocletian, and she ended up being beheaded. And so just ask her help if you have any issues, because she's also a saint of that you would ask help for lost causes, just like St. Jude or St. Rita. She's another one that you can ask. And the last thing I wanted to say was, you know, 5 years ago on August 13 was the day that I was admitted to the hospital, and I almost died three different times. And to this day, I want to thank God that I'm alive 5 years after the fact. My lungs are all scarred up. I'm what you call a pulmonary cripple, where I can't do anything without this tank of oxygen nearby. But I just want to thank God for keeping me alive and having this five-year anniversary that I'm still here. And I want to just praise God as long as I can. As long as he gives me breath, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. So thank you, everybody. God bless you. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. God bless you all. Have a great evening.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.